Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Hello, Miami Dolphins fans, and thank you for listening to The Fish Tank. I am not Seth Levitt. He, for the second time in 3 weeks, he is not here.
Right.
I have to fill in again. He really is Wally Pipp, I think, these days. but we got a full show for you. You might join us at some point, I don't know. But the NFL draft is behind us. The picks have been made. Some fans too happy, some fans too mad. Welcome to life as a Miami Dolphins fan. And tonight I am joined by number 81, OJ McDuffie, the legendary Savak, Chad Van Horn, and from Perfect Phil, and really a decent person, Sam Marcoux. Gentlemen, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, if you got to announce yourself as a decent person, man, does that really make you a decent person, or are you just looking for somebody to say, "Yeah, I agree," like you just did, Mike? I don't know, man.
I will say this. I have tried to promote my shows. I've tried to promote my stand-up comedy. And once I started just saying I'm a decent person, I had more people going, where do I find this decent person? So
right.
From a marketing perspective, I get more juice, so to speak, with decent person than welcome to perfville.com or anything else. So from a marketing perspective, it's gold.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Well, fellas, it's great to have everybody here. And Mike running the show while Seth is on. Seth's all he gets busier than Chad does sometimes, you guys. You know, and Chad's always busy. And I can't wait to talk to Chad a little bit about his trip to Pittsburgh for the draft. He was there for the weekend, man. So that had to be a lot of fun, man. But Mike, I'm glad you're here to run the show, because as we said before we went on the air, if Mike wasn't running the show or somebody wasn't running the show, we would cancel it tonight. So I'm not running. I'm not driving no damn shows, man.
Someone's got to drive the show. Someone's got to get through. Someone's got to, you know, bring up the topics and make sure we stay on point, which I know sometimes is like trying to herd cats. But we're going to try our best to stay on point tonight. And point number one, topic number one is the NFL draft. The Miami Dolphins, they started off at pick 11. Then they made a small trade to move down to pick 12. And everyone thought, hey, pick 12, we're going to get our choice between Reuben Bain or Caleb Downs. Seth Levitt's on the air live with us on our live stream. He was like, Reuben Bain, we got him. And then his face turned not happy as we went with Caden Proctor. So I guess my first question, OJ, is, are you okay with Caden Proctor over Reuben Bain? What are your thoughts on that pick and what Miami did at round at the top of round one?
Yeah, you know, I was shocked as well. I think we all were, you know, and to have the opportunity to get the guys that we thought we coveted, you know, right there in front of us was, yeah, it was tough. You know, we did the Dolphins did an amazing job on their draft party. They did a huge event at both wharfs down here. You know, one in Fort Lauderdale and the one in Miami, and the one in Fort Lauderdale was just packed. And it was a collective silence once we drafted Caden Proctor, you know. But I remember, like, so for me, though, you know, my old ass, I don't remember a lot of things, right? So I didn't really remember this guy. But then I remember them, like, running plays for this guy, trying to get him in the end zone and things like that. So I realized he was a big dude that was hella athletic. I say no, that's what we were looking. But recent days passed, and that was their number one target. And I think that's why they felt that they could make that move that they did. So my thing always is this. When it comes to the draft, when it comes to guys we pick, I'm a wait and see kind of guy. I really am. You know, I mean, we don't know anything about these guys. Yeah, they might have been great in college. How many great college players were there that were terrible? Not just bad, but terrible in the NFL. You know what I mean? Chad was one of them. You know, Chad was he was terrible. He was – well, his terribleness started in high school. But that's a whole different story right here. You know, but I'm just a wait and see guy. And I trust the guys that have watched all the film, all the games, done the interviews, all the different things that goes into picking somebody, and what we felt was a need for us. And, you know, I know we needed a guard or a tackle or a guard or a tackle, you know, and this guy's played all four of those positions on the football team, and he's hell athletic, big as hell. I mean, big as hell. And so I'm in wait and see mode right now, Mike. I just think that, you know, if you've got, like Sully said, if he's going to play left guard, like he said on the Joe Rose show on WQAM, if he's going to play left guard next to Patrick Paul and next to Aaron Brewer, I'm all in, bro. I really am.
Run left. In, man. Run left. Left.
You see little H-Hand's ass just hiding up somebody's, you know what, man, and then all of a sudden he's gone, you know? So, yeah, I'm okay with it so far, bro.
Here's one thing, too. Sullivan read the room because he was right at the start of that offensive tackle run. If he didn't take Proctor there and went someone else, by pick 30, the top offensive linemen were all gone. So, yeah, he would have got someone at the offensive line, but I think he wanted to be at the start of that run, not be at the ass end of that run in round one. Sam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, Mike. I think one of the things that I saw, a couple of themes in this draft, by the way, the first three rounds, the Dolphins picked nobody other than people who wore red jerseys, which I thought was kind of odd. It was like Sully was colorblind. Like if you're a red or a derivative of red, congratulations, you are a Miami Dolphin. Number two, I think for the most part, when you look at what Sullivan and team did, they controlled their draft board, with the exception of maybe one pick, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. They went up and got the people that they wanted to get. They moved back and got additional picks when they wanted to do that and still got the guys they picked. They stayed put and got maybe arguably the best defensive player in this entire draft in the second round. So I really liked the way he controlled the board. It wasn't the guy I would have picked. I would have taken Caleb Downs, also a red jersey, and walked into that press conference with my pants around my ankle saying, any questions? But I'm not the one in charge of this. John Eric Sullivan is, and he seemed to fall in love with this guy, and there's nothing wrong. Look, I came on this show about a month ago and said the draft strategy for the Miami Dolphins should be heavy D and the Fat Boys, late 80s, early 90s. That's what it should have been. And when you look at the first three picks, I want to thank them for listening to the Fish Tank Live, because that exact strategy is how it played out. You can't get mad. Again, you put Patrick Paul, Caden Proctor, and A'Ron Brewer next to each other. That is not a gamble when you have Proctor in the middle of those two guys. I like the left-hand side of that line. You get clarity on the right-hand side of the line. You're probably going to have Jonah fighting for his life as a starting right guard, but that is his natural side of the line anyway. So you're sort of correcting a wrong that happened last year while you do this. And of course, if Austin Jackson decides to stop moonlighting as a player and make that his full-time job instead of staying on IR, all of a sudden you've got your starting five in the vision. The puzzle pieces start to fall into place for Malik Willis and Devon Achane. And I'll say this, the last thing about Caden Proctor that I don't think people are really focused on. This was not an investment in Caden Proctor. This was an investment in Malik Willis, and this was an investment in Devon Achane. That's what this pick was. You're trying to sign this young 24-year-old speedster who is the face of your franchise right now, especially on offense. You just signed a multi-year contract with Malik Willis. You now got to show them that you have their best interest in heart, and that's exactly what this pick does.
Sam, bringing A-plus football knowledge to your show. You're not just a pretty face and humor at the end of the day.
Right.
A decent mind for football, I would say.
There we go. There we go.
Chad, you were there. What was the vibe like when Miami made the pick? Was there boos? Was there cheers?
Well, I can tell you, what was it? 300,000 people, a new record set in Pittsburgh for the first round.
Okay.
I got a VIP tour by our new sponsor coming up, American Express. So shout out to them because I was recruiting them to be a sponsor as well. And I even got into the Miami Dolphins section where they have the super fans.
Yeah.
15 super fans, and the swag that they had there was ridiculous.
You bring any back?
Well, I stole a couple, but don't tell anybody that.
Okay.
And I like how they had it lined up by division. So you guys were right next to the Bills, the Patriots, and the Jets, and it was really cool. So up front, they were going nuts because I think they were just drunk because it was free drinks. So they were going crazy over every pick. The Dolphins fans that I talked to, there were some groans. Because they wanted a big splash. They wanted that big name. They wanted that big star. I like the pick personally, and obviously the Steelers went offensive line as well. It's not always sexy to do that, but that's what wins ball games at the end of the day. So I think the real football people liked it. You know, the average fan, they wanted one of the big names, the wide receivers. You know, one of the skill positions, which I get. But overall, the Dolphins fans showed up. And Pittsburgh weather showed up. It was 77 and sunny all day. So I told people were talking about, I can live here. I can move here. I said, you're going to get catfished. You're going to come here expecting all these parties to be going on, expecting this beautiful sunshine. And it's not going to be that way. So be careful.
Yeah. Those 3 days at Pittsburgh is nice. Showed up those 3 days, man. I'll tell you that. Being a guy that played ball in Pennsylvania, I know how it can be.
And you know it, but see, that just shows the power of the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For real.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Savak, what do you think? Are you a fan of Proctor at number 12, or would you have gone somewhere else?
I've been tossing and turning about that one. I was all night. But honestly, I was pretty happy with the pick. Given what he brings, I think that there's a chance, provided that he can dial in, that he could shore up that offensive line for many years to come.
Yeah, Savak, you lost sleep over the draft. Are you?
I was going to say, rough couple nights of the draft.
Oh my God, bro!
I just wasn't sleeping to begin with. But
hey, did you have a calcium bet or something that went wrong? Like, I don't understand why you would lose sleep over that. Look, here's the thing: if Proctor lays down, he can actually play tackle and guard on the left-hand side. He's correct. That big around as he is tall. So, look, think about that. He can actually have just another guy on the team because he's that big, he's that fat, he's that rotund. He makes Seth Levitt look skinny and hairy. That's how big and mean. I don't know. I just threw a shot at Seth as he comes on to his own show.
Shots fired, man. Strays.
He's got to catch a stray coming in the door.
Right. Knew that was coming.
A rough room, Seth. It's a rough room. You got every man for themselves, really.
Here tonight.
Yeah. Glad I could be here. How you doing, Seth?
I'm good. I apologize for my tardiness. But you know, after the Wally Pipp line the last time I missed, I gotta make sure I show up.
You got another one this time too. You missed this one too.
Don't watch the replay, Seth.
Yeah. I have to go back and listen, but good to be here with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, and Seth was on with us on our live stream when this pick was made, and I know he was so dead. I've never seen Seth so disappointed in my life. I've known him for a few years now. When it wasn't Reuben Bain, he was just a look of despair in his face. Like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah. I was devastated, I think would be the right word.
Yeah.
I understand the pick. And I got to tell you, John Eric Sullivan could probably, you know, what's the whole sell ice to an ask? I mean, but it feels authentic. So I don't think. He doesn't come across salesy. I feel that the guy's very transparent and very authentic. But, man, I want to believe everything that he says, which is a good thing. But so I get it. I understand the risk-reward piece. Is it exciting to look across the line? And we heard him tell Joe Rose today that Proctor's going to start at left guard. Is it exciting to think about Paul and then Proctor and then, you know, and then Brewer and say, man, that's that left side of that line, like just, you know, Achan left, Achan left, Achan left. And so that is exciting. But there, to me, I just, you guys know how I feel about pass rushers. And I feel that Bane is a very special player. All of the great things that we've heard about Proctor in terms of being unique and special, I think Bane is unique and special in his own right. And, man, that video of him just grabbing that hat, not even looking at the mirror, not even sitting there trying to be pretty like every other dude before him. And he just looks like he's ready to kick some ass for the next 10 years. And so, yeah, I was bummed because I don't think you get an opportunity like that very often. But I hope Proctor's a great player and you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes because you never really know with any of these picks. You can read all the experts and all that stuff, but really when the guys put on the pads and you can't also judge what's in their heart and how much they want it when they get out there. So we'll see in time and everyone's going to look back at that moment and say, well, they should have took him. They should have took him. Well, look, it worked out. Why do we question this? And that's what is the fun of the NFL draft. Now, OJ.
Can I address the sexiness of the pick real quick? Everyone, Seth said it. He didn't mean to, but everyone always says, well, it's not a sexy pick. But here's the thing. The majority of human beings that have been conceived on planet Earth were conceived in the missionary position. So sometimes it could be boring. Sometimes it's not what you want to do, but it is the most effective way to get stuff done. So getting an offensive lineman at 12th overall in the first round might not be sexy, might be boring, but it might birth a championship baby. That's all I'm saying.
Man, now you got me thinking about my mom and
Sam. Who's your stat guy on this? Who's your stat guy on this? Is it Savak?
It's a scientific poll that I have created over the past.
GPT? GPT told him that.
Is the sample size of Mark Duhon?
That told me that these were good.
He's going, yes, exactly right. There it is, Big Seth. He's going to buy his stats. He's got his own. Those are his numbers.
That's it.
I'm 4 for 5, gentlemen. That tells me I'm a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer right there, baby. Yeah.
Good point. That's a good point. By the way, how about Savak rocking that shirt? I mean, I guess it finally got there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. About damn time.
I love it.
All those weeks, it did finally arrive. I am official.
This thing got there. I think we need we got to get a few more in the mail, Juice, looking across the board here.
Yeah, I'm down, man. Let's get another order in, man. Big Seth.
No doubt.
All right. So the other thing.
Bohica's light me up in the chat. Sorry, guys. Bohica, I deserve every moment of this.
I haven't seen it.
He's making fun of my glasses because I look, Seth, you missed a pre-show. I put these on and everybody just stared at me like, what are those? And I'm like, look, I got new glasses. Okay. The AI generator said I look cool. And when I got them today, like I told everyone, I looked like a Jewish grandmother from Trenton, New Jersey. It didn't quite work out in my favor.
I have one of those.
But she says hello. She's part of my card game later today.
Bridge. Yes. Definitely got to play some bridge.
Oh, man.
Ay. All right. So the other thing to come out of this draft is Miami had to replace Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So they didn't draft just one wide receiver. They didn't draft just two wide receivers. They drafted three wide receivers.
Yes, sir.
When it was all said and done. And I know OJ was happy when they drafted three. And I think the one that sort of stands out a little above the rest is Chris Bell out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Coming off an ACL injury. But if he wasn't hurt with that ACL, most of the experts said late round one, early round two. Miami gets him at the end of round three. OJ, what do you think of these wide receivers? And how excited are you for Chris Bell in Miami eventually?
Yeah, exactly. I think he's going to have, what I understood, like kind of a red shirt year, which is, you know, I don't know if we can afford red shirts from guys right now. But at the same time, though, man, look at what we've done going from our Smurfs, pretty much our little guys, to some big-ass receivers, man. Yep. You know what I mean? And I promise you, if I was playing and I was in the slot, I would love to see those big guys on the outside. Urban Fryer was a pretty big guy, you know, sitting at 6'1 or so, you know, over 200 pounds and powerful. Yeah, you know, it's nice to have those guys out there. And guys like that, we've seen it time and time again, and I didn't understand it, and I will never understand it, and that's probably why they're not here anymore. But trying to throw a 50-50 ball to Tyreek, you know, Hill in the corner of the end zone. Now we got some dudes that can actually should be able to go out there and elevate and win those 50-50 balls. Because that's all it's going to be when you get down there tight in the red zone. We call it the green zone when I was playing with Coach Shula because we're going in. That's all go right there, you know.
Yeah, maybe we need to start calling it the green zone again.
I like the green zone, but, you know, whatever they want to call it, it is what it is. I can call it what the hell I want, Seth, because we can do whatever the hell we want to do. Yeah, and so, like I'm saying, though, that fade now is we've got a chance. We've got a hell of a chance now on that fade, which is always such tight quarters anyways. And, you know, hopefully these guys have the will and the want to block somebody. We're talking about our run game. We're talking about Pat Paul. We're talking about Caden Proctor. We're talking about Aaron Brewer. But we also got to talk about the fact that in order for guys to get to the next level, to get the touchdowns, our guys have to be blocking downfield. And so if these big guys want to go down there and hit somebody in the mouth, which I would love that. I'm all for it, man. We finally got, you know, the guys in this inside that are quick and shifty and some big guys that can play on the outside. So I was really cool with that pick, even though we might not see the fruits of that labor and for a little while. I'd love the Chris Bell pick for sure.
Go ahead, just Mike. Real quick, they took two tight ends, and the kid from Ohio State, Will Kaczmarek, seems like he's here for one reason, and they need to catch passes. It's just a block, and really open up that running game too next to the offensive line. Last year, Miami at times, when they sort of took off on offense, played six offensive linemen. Well, Will Kaczmarek, from all the reports, is like an extra offensive lineman just at tight end. Yep. I think that's going to help too in the running game, having him out there, because he ain't known for catching passes. And I think John Eric Sullivan said he's the guy who's just going to like rip your face off and eat it or something. He said something crazy. So he's a nasty son of a gun, it sounds like.
Yeah, and they need nasty. They need so I will give them credit for this. I think that is something that was very clear. If you listen, any interview that John Eric Sullivan gave, he was like, this game is essentially played by big, strong, tough sons of you know what. And it seems like they went and found a bunch of them.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. There it is, Sam. I don't know what the hell Sam. I don't know what Seth's doing over there, man.
I'm wearing my collared shirt today, so all of a sudden I feel like
9:25 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah,
he's too white collar for language like that.
Way too white collar today. That's what it is. I need to come in here with a hoodie and just be a savage, which is what they need. They need more savages on this team. They were way too soft the last few years, and I think in the tight end position. Juice, you know, for a couple years now, I've been jumping up and down on the table saying they needed to upgrade the tight end position. Yeah. And you know, we got Dulcich was a great surprise last year, and he's a guy that they look like they're going to continue to try to build with. But this kid from Ohio State looks like he's a mouth breather, man. He looks like he is just ready to tear somebody's head off. And you can't get enough of those guys. It's friggin' football.
Right.
Yeah. Don't be soft. You got to draft guys that aren't going to be soft. You got to be physical.
Not the NBA. Some badass dudes.
And did you guys see the clip of Mike McDaniel from this weekend when he wanted the Chargers to draft a 5'9 wide receiver who ran a 4.25? He's in the war room telling, if you draft him, I'll take off my shirt. Like, jokes. And then they draft him.
What kind of incentive is that? I'm going to take my
shirt. I don't know. It's just Mike with the act. And then they draft him. Then they draft him. He gets on the phone with the kid on a FaceTime. He's telling the kid, you know, you go out tonight and party, live it up. He goes, you take off your shirt and have fun. Then once he hangs up, he goes, check your pulse. He's doing the same act.
Oh,
check your
pulse.
If you don't have a pulse, you're dead. I'm like, he's recycling material. Sam, you know about that. You don't recycle material.
Listen, here's the deal. Who is Mike McDaniel's best friend? It's Dan Soder. There is a thing that rings true in comedy. You can either get new jokes or a new audience. Mike McDaniel went and got a new audience.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well, he was kind of forced to, Sam. His hand was forced.
Right. Well, sometimes the club won't let you in after hours, Seth. They say, look, you're done. You did your weekend. Get out of here.
Not going to lie. You guys are sound like ex-lovers. Like, I mean, I'm just jilted. Saying. Yeah, jilted, right? That's what it sounds like. I mean,
bring in receipts.
Pissed off here, man. Came in here and sold me this. Oh, you know, I thought we were going to build a life together.
Yeah. Well, you know, Big Seth, the only thing better than an old head coach is a new head coach.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Like a backup quarterback.
We only like half the coaches, man. It's so crazy because I just had lunch. I had dinner with Stu Weinstein the other day, and I asked him, Stu, how many coaches have you protected, you know, since you were with the Dolphins? He said 10.
Wow.
10 head coaches that he protected. Too many head coaches, man. So, you know, our new girlfriend, our new head coach, Halfley, you know what I mean? I expect a 10-year-plus relationship, Big Seth. Minimum.
I mean, we're entering Vrabel Russini territory at 10 years, but, you know, you never know.
low-hanging fruit. I love it.
By the way, there's a lawsuit coming out of that. That was just announced, by the way. So we'll talk about that during the legal zone.
We'll save that.
That's going to be a fun one to talk about.
Because I'm kind of tired of the story, but if there's a lawsuit, now I'm intrigued.
Seth, every time I get tired of the story, something comes out that ropes me back in, though. I got to be honest.
Why is everybody so fascinated by this? And I'm not saying it's no big deal, because these are two married people and they've just torn apart the homes that they both built. And that is horrific. But, like, why? I don't get, in the midst of everything that's happening in the National Football League, that's the thing that every two days has to be at the top of the
list. Sex baby.
It does. I mean, first and foremost, he bought his wife a hoodie, so things are fine in the Vrabel household. Let's just get that out of the way. I think things are fine. She was wearing the ring, which is probably what he actually bought her, was a big old fat carat diamond. But I think the reality is here, there's so much underneath that story. It's not just two people fucking. It's the fact that she is a voting member of the Journalist Society there, right? It's the fact that she has insider information. It's the fact that she is on the inside and knows exactly, in this case, what the Patriots want in terms of trades, who they're targeting, and she can go out there and actually influence not just the people, you and I, but she can actually influence other personnel folks on other front offices based on what she knows, because she has inside sources. And apparently everybody knows who her inside sources are. So every time she goes and posts something on X and everything else, they know that she's probably got it on pretty good authority. So I think there's a lot of problems here in terms of the integrity of the league. There's a lot of problems here with integrity of the journalists that are following these players. I think and everybody is being silent about it, with the exception of us, of course. Nobody's talking about this on the national level until they're forced to have to talk about it. And this is the type of stuff that if they just came out and admitted it and talked about it freely, it probably does die in a news cycle of 48 hours. But now here we are, you know, 4 to 5 days, 8 days later, whatever it is, and we're still talking about it because they're just leaving crumbs everywhere. I mean, there's playlists. She's giving them a cheer up, homeboy playlist after a 4-game losing streak. Yeah, you damn right I want to hear more about it. What's on that playlist? What do these songs mean? Hit Me Baby One More Time. What does that mean, Mike Vrabel? Well, it's juicy stuff.
Yep. Yeah,
she really named her first kid Michael,
and then proceeded to tweet about the what was it, famous or great Michaels that have played and or coached in the league.
Oh,
it's like the hole just keeps getting dug deeper. Well, I'm gonna
tell you how I take this whole situation, and take it how you want, is that coach from Michigan had an inappropriate relationship, got fired.
Yeah.
Coach from Michigan State, inappropriate relationship, got fired. Coach from Boston Celtics, inappropriate relationship, got fired. What's going on here, man?
The only difference,
only three, is,
and I'm not saying any of it's okay, but those were with employees of the same organization. So
I think not the Celtics one.
The Celtics one wasn't okay.
It was the daughter of the owner or something. Oh, it was even worse.
What's that? I stand corrected.
So put that on the daughter then.
Oh no, no. I'm, and obviously,
Russini was working for the Patriots too. It's the way she was acting.
You know, I think
he wasn't answering to the same human resources director.
All right.
Perhaps all right. Mr. Kraft looked the other way on that one because of reasons.
Indiscretions.
Yeah. Well, he can't. Well, Mr. Kraft, he's now. That's how we roll here in New England. That's how we roll.
What is he gonna say?
You call that
exactly right.
Yeah.
This is my fault. I apologize.
Cheat gate, all that. Bunch of cheaters in New England, man. That's all they do.
Thanks so much, Sam. Hey, back to these wide receivers that the Dolphins got. So, Juice, what do you think? I mean, you know, the Caleb Douglas pick, for everybody who thinks the Dolphins did a great job drafting, the one pick that I think people point to where there are some question marks is that Caleb Douglas pick. Why is everybody so tough on Sully with that pick? Have you watched anything of this guy? And if you haven't, then, you know, I don't want to put you in a bad spot.
I don't know any of these cats, man. These young dudes, man. You know, I'm watching Younger the Wrestlers during the day, man. I ain't got time to be watching these dudes play football. You know, I wait until we get him, and then I go from there, man. But, yeah, I know a lot of people were scratching their head about that one for sure. And, again, like I said at the top of the show, man, I'm a wait-and-see kind of guy, you know. And I think that I think a guy that, you know, is coming down here maligned, you know, I think that's the kind of dude I want on my squad right there. You know, I think that that's going to be some motivation for him. And I think I'll talk a little bit about that later. But I think no matter what, why don't we all just chill, you know what I mean? And see what these guys are all about. We don't know who anybody's going to be. We don't know, you know, there's some guys that people love on this draft. What if they don't pan out? Then what?
I mean, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. It's guaranteed to happen.
Yeah, there's no way you hit 13 right in a row. Like, there's
you don't expect to hit, you know, sometimes you hope to hit late in the draft, but you expect to try, you expect to be successful in your top guys, you know, and that's one of our top guys. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6'3", ran a 4.39. Something's there. I mean, like to think it'll pan out in some level, even if it's not a wide receiver one, but he's part of a group that is very productive over the next few years with that size and speed. Good God.
Yeah. And I know Chris Johnson did, who, you know, everybody's excited about. Chris Johnson did speak very highly about his performance in the, was it in the Senior Bowl? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I guess for whatever that's worth, it is interesting.
Senior Bowl's important, though, Big Seth. We talk about this all the time.
Well, clearly was to John Eric Sullivan.
Because, I mean, really going against the best of the best in seniors in that situation, and the practices are intense. They really are. And you're going to get some guys. And the reason you go to Senior Bowl is you can show everybody, all 32 teams, plus everybody, their entourage, that I can play against this top talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are. And that's part of the deal right there. And if you go there and show out and you're willing to go there, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Some dudes are afraid of the Senior Bowl. They're afraid of Senior Bowl. They're afraid of getting, you know, not being potentially as good as what people think they are, and they're afraid of competition. If you go to Senior Bowl, I like you already because I know you want to go there and be involved in some competition, for real, real competition. Now, no bowl game, I'm not talking trash to any school, not Eastern Illinois University you played against and you had, you know, 12 sacks or 12 grabs. You know, I'm talking about playing against some real competition day in, day out. Being the first one in the line, you know what I mean? Being the first one running drills, being the first one that wants to go against the best corner, quote unquote, that's there. Those are all big things that, you know, these coaches, you know, and brass, that's what they're looking for, man. And who knows, you know, how much that impressed them. Pat Mahomes got drafted because of what he did, you know, in a Senior Bowl. But he would have got drafted anyways. But that solidified things for him in his position with the Kansas City Chiefs. So
yeah, they went
I'm all for it, man. Yeah.
No, it makes sense. That makes plenty of sense. But I did find it interesting that was the pick that people all seem to have issues with. And then everyone's excited about Bell, and you know, that's going to be a wait-and-see deal just because of the injury.
Well, no, Chris Bell is a home run pick, to mix sports metaphors, and I'll get into that when I try to tell y'all a little bit later as to why exactly it is a home run pick. However, when it comes to Caleb Douglas, there's a couple of things. I think the Miami Dolphins got. The guy that went right before them, the New York Giants, cashed in their chips and went up and got their boy out of what? Notre Dame there, Malachi Fields. I think that's who the Miami Dolphins truly wanted with that pick. And the problem with that is that was the only pick, in my opinion, where John Eric Sullivan didn't feel like he was in control of the draft board. Every other pick that he had, it felt like I could trade up, I could trade back, I could stay here and get Jacob Rodriguez and that 43-year-old mustache that he's got on his 23-year-old face. I could do any and all of these things. But I just couldn't get my guy in this round. And it does seem like they had to scramble at that point. They probably wasn't a contingency plan to go out and trade back. They do need to get a wide receiver because they had nobody, because again, you cannot rely on Tutu Atwell to be your 1-1 wide receiver going into the 2026 campaign. So you got to get somebody. So you get a guy with size, you get a guy with speed, you get a guy who, by the way, the one thing that truly impressed me about all of this whole practice, John Eric Sullivan is a robot. I know people call me a robot. Travis Wingfield calls me the Henny Bot because I have no emotion. John Eric Sullivan is a goddamn Terminator, because if you see the way that he picks up the phone and he talks to these players and he's like, yo, you want to come play football in Miami? Like, yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, here's Coach Halfley. He doesn't want to talk to these guys. He's on to the next. He does not care about you or your feelings. You are a number on a board, and that's what I want out of my general manager, quite frankly. However, the one guy that got any sort of emotion that turned the robot frown upside down was Caleb Douglas when he said, you want to come catch passes? And he goes, hell yeah. And it was that emotion. It was that right there that made John Eric Sullivan smile before he cut him off and handed him off to Coach Half.
Nice. That was it. That was the moment. That is pretty funny. And as you say that, I don't anticipate seeing, we just saw Chip Kelly Champ Kelly, I'm sorry, was relieved of his duties today. I don't think you're going to see John Eric Sullivan in a double-breasted suit standing on the sidelines, high-fiving and hugging players as they're walking off the field. So I don't know if that means anything, good, bad, or indifferent, but you're right. He does not seem – his approach, Juice, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, being a player, he doesn't seem like he's trying to build a relationship with players. He's trying to build a football team, and there are pieces that and components that are necessary to build this machine. And it just seems to me that – because he talks about what I'm buying. He uses all these phrases, and he really is just assembling – pieces to a puzzle. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about that, Juice, being a former player, because obviously you want to be valued, but at the same time, should the guy give a shit about relationships, or should he just build the best football team?
Yeah, I think some of the best coaches out there have been some of the guys that keep everybody on edge. They really do. You know, buddy. Look, I mean, let's go back real quick to Raheem Mostert and his relationship with Mike McDaniel. And he thought that they were tighter than they were. You know what I mean? I'd rather not even have that perception that we cool like that. I'd rather you think that, you know what, you know, you mess up this week and next week, there might be somebody here to replace you in week three. You know, I don't mind that whatsoever. And I think these guys go out there, you know, as much as I hate Jimmy Johnson, he coached with an iron fist. Yeah. He really did, man. He didn't want anybody. He wasn't buddies with anybody. You know, he became buddy with Zach and them, you know, all his defensive guys and all those punks over there. But I get it, man. You know what I mean? You know, he hated the offensive guys and he let us know it for the most part, man. Now, they're not punks. Those are my dudes, man. Honest, you saw my jersey I wore on draft day. My Zach Thomas baseball jersey was lit. Literally, man. It was dope. But anyhow, I don't mind that, you know, a GM doesn't make friends. I don't mind that. He's going to be cool with him because he seems like a cool guy. But he's not going to show any buddy to any of those guys. And I think that's a wise move because everybody, when he walks by, you know, they need to straighten up and act right because, you know, you just never know. I'm cool with that all day, every day.
Real quick, Juice, you told me that the way they measure everything right now, like talk about loss of step. I mean, they could say, well, you used to run at this mile per hour and now you're running at this. And you like they're measuring everything. And that's really what's guiding a lot of these decisions, right?
Yeah. Not our, I mean, our guys, I think that, you know, they want to see some speed and things like that, but their thing, they like smart, tough, versatile, you know what I mean? And can play ball. Those are great parameters. If you want to look at some guys, can you play ball, man? That's the film is, it tells you everything, but if you're smart and also leadership, they're looking at guys that were leaders. I would draft all captains if I could, you know, not every captain's going in first, second round. Some of them going fifth, sixth, seventh. If you're a captain, I know you can lead. I know you're going to be a good leader. I think one of the problems the Dolphins had was their leaders were not very good leaders. I think that if you got a bunch of guys that can lead, that are used to leading, for me, I was a captain at Penn State, you know. Then I got to the Dolphins, and I had to wait because you got captains, Urban Fryer, Brian Cox, you know, Danny Marino, all those guys are there until I got a chance to become the captain. But I knew how to lead from previous experience. Everybody that's in the NFL were a captain probably through peewee, middle school, high school, and probably some of them in college. I'm looking at all those guys, and I know they can lead, man. And I think that's always important, man. But everybody's always looking at the measurables, you know, and measurables are great. You want guys, you don't want, you know, a wide receiver that runs 5.1. You know, I mean, that's obviously that they won't even get invited to combine, and they won't even be at a pro day. They'll be already, you know, on LinkedIn. Not that it's a bad thing, Fernando Mendoza, but they probably already be on LinkedIn looking for their next job opportunity because they
open to work. They have that circle around the open to work.
Right. I actually ran the 40 at the NFL draft.
Oh, you did. Oh,
you need a time. Hamstring
and nothing. Back. Your back wasn't all. Man, did you stretch?
So, I did stretch.
Okay.
You didn't end up with your buddy at Wiffle Blast, did you?
But no, I did not. 5.9.
5.9. Wait. Dude.
Damn. You had a bad start, right? You had a bad start.
No, you know, those timers, you can't, like, you can't.
Stopwatch air. Yeah. Stopwatch air.
I think somebody mismeasured and it was a fifth.
Yeah, I think it was 4.9, but he went the wrong way and ended up at Nemecolon instead of the finish line at the 40 yard. So he just got a little bit of a slight delay there. He went towards West Virginia. That's all.
Yeah, Chad, was it electronic, Chad? Don't ever run electronic, man. You always have to do handheld only, man. Don't do electronics.
It was electronic, and my number one goal was to not pull a hammy, and I succeeded in that.
Well, congrats.
But 5.9, it wasn't a 6.0, so I had to beat at least one offensive lineman.
What was your goal, Chad?
Under six.
No, I'm buying. That's what he's saying now. Before he put his hand on the line, what was your goal before that?
So my fastest 40 ever was a 4.7. So I was like, I could probably get like a 5-something, like 5.4, 5.2. Nah, was not. Not even close. Okay. Not even close.
5.9. Let's take OJ out of the equation. Who would run the fastest 40 in this group? Now we know Chad. Oh,
Savak. It's got to be Savak. Savak. Sure. Savak. He's the youngest, right? Probably.
He's a long strider, too, though.
Yeah. Savak can beat me right now, man.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, torn meniscus and a torn ACL. I'd be hobbling.
I'd cook you all. It wouldn't even be a competition.
Yeah, but he can't go over the middle.
No one's arguing with it. You'll win because we ain't trying this.
Hey, Mike, he can't go over the middle and he can't block, though. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how fast he is.
Little alligator arms.
Outside guy.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
No. Put me side by side with him. I guarantee I beat him. Because he's not going to get off the line.
Trip him. Yeah. You do some lower
shit. Right. I'm going to push his ass down. Bump and run.
All right, Clay. All right,
I'll let him still win.
I looked it up. The slowest NFL combine 40-yard dash in history since the year 2000. Where do you think Chad Van Horn lands on this list at a 5.9? Is he the slowest of all time?
No, he can't be. He's got to be some sixes in there, at least.
All right. Regis Crawford ran a 6.05 on his second run. I think it was 6.07 in 2004. You also beat Isaiah Thompson, offensive guard out of Houston, 2011. Sharon Darcy, offensive tackle out of Florida State, 5.99. So you're not even bottom three, Chad. You, too, could go to Florida State with that time.
Sam, answer this question, Sam. How much did those guys weigh?
Well, okay. There was maybe a little bit of a headwind for Chad as well. Let's keep that in mind.
Chad is a swell 225-pounder, 230-pounder. Those guys are probably 325, 330. I got to give them an extra half a second just because of that.
That's true.
How much did they have to drink before they ran the 40?
Oh, that too. Oh.
They've been training. So
I see. Here's the thing.
Go ahead, Sam.
Savak's going to run the fastest 40, but I'm going to drink the fastest 40. So I have a true underwear Olympics.
So who's the real winner?
I'm down.
That's right.
Too good. All right. Well, speaking of real winners, I'd love to hear who everybody's their winner pick out of this draft is. Who's the guy that they think the Dolphins got the most value out of?
I'll go first, but I'll keep it short because it's going to be part of I tried to tell y'all. I think it's Jacob Rodriguez at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That was also my answer.
Are you changing it or it still is?
No, still is.
I'm going Kevin Coleman Jr. I like the little guys inside him. Give me some skirts, you know, with my man Malik Washington. I like Kevin Coleman, man, out of Missouri. I think he's going to be a solid player for us.
I think the way this draft worked out, the defensive players are the ones that are going to contribute more often early. I really like Kyle Lewis as well. Jacob Rodriguez is a home run. Mike is absolutely right. My favorite pick maybe in the entire NFL draft was probably our second first round pick. I mean, Chris Johnson, what we were able to do and what we did to some other teams in the process with that pick is a masterclass by John Eric Sullivan. And I will hold on to that until I try to tell y'all, but I really like Jacob Rodriguez. I like Chris Johnson, back-to-back picks. It's hard to be better than those two for anybody in the draft on back-to-back picks.
Right. Nice. Good call.
I think I'm right there with you, Sam. And I was going to say, and easy to say now being said, but Chris Johnson, I'm excited about Chris Johnson. You know, if we didn't get the pass rusher, then let's get the other guy who can try to, you know, shut the quarterback down. Plus, he's half Filipino, for crying out loud. So I feel
there
like
you go. He's
related to my family.
That's right. The family wife appreciates you. She liked that call, I'm sure.
No doubt. I went right home and said, guess what? We drafted a Filipino guy.
And we know he's going to be, yeah, he's going to work his ass off for sure.
That's it.
For sure, for sure.
Hey, real quick, something cool as hell. I got to walk down that draft room where they put the hat on in the mirror and they have the logos.
Did you do the Reuben Bain?
No, I did not do the Reuben Bain. I wasn't allowed to really touch anything. Like, that was the bad part. Like, I wanted to take pictures. I wanted to do all this stuff, but I wasn't allowed to do all that. And I went to the green room, which the green room was awesome. And they had it set up by the people that were going to go first, get drafted first, were on the outside, and the people that were going to get drafted last were in the middle. So you could kind of have a feeling. The NFL obviously has a feeling. So that was pretty cool. But the Dolphins, and you'll never see this, and maybe you could find it on the internet. If you look at the Dolphins logo, it actually has the map around the stadium in Miami in the logo. And that was for every logo. And what I heard was every draft pick gets that as a gift.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And they were like, I wanted to steal a few of those because they were fast.
So what do you do? So every draft pick that gets drafted. So if you're not there, they're gonna send one to you. And yeah, some of the teams, yeah, eight teams didn't have a first round pick. What do they do with theirs? Like,
I guess they should give it to the fish tank. I mean, we should auction it off for charity. I mean, that's
I don't want anybody else's shit.
No, I guess they would give it
to the Dolphin one. That's all I care about.
40 minutes, the first bell. This has got to be a record.
Yeah, I got it in before, you know, Mike. Before we got on the air, I was getting it in.
Can we name the bell Chris? I mean, just for as long as he's here on the Miami Dolphins, can we just officially name the bell Chris?
It's the Chris bell?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris bell. I like that.
Right. I'm okay with that.
I'll take it. You're going to get at a few Chris's
until he starts playing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
but I bet they give it to the first pick. So if it's a second round pick that was the first pick, I bet they get that. But it's an awesome keepsake. And if the Steelers draft pick, I can't pronounce the name, doesn't want it, I certainly will take it. And same thing with the Dolphins draft pick, because they were incredible. And the way the NFL set that up, I mean, I probably won't go to another draft because hundreds of thousands of people was insane.
Yeah.
And if Miami ever gets one, it's going to be crazy. And I know that we'll have VIP because obviously we'll be in the fish tank live from the draft. Right. But yeah, I don't want to be in that crowd, of course.
Hey, Chad, did you see the jerseys printing when they were doing the jersey?
I did. And they have a whole process. And not only the jersey printing, they print a card. I don't know if you saw that part where they autograph a card. It's one of one card. And I want that bang card, Seth. So like, I know you have hookups. Like, I want that bang card, but no, they auction it off for charity.
Yeah.
Tops takes a picture. They print the card. They made a card of me as well, which is awesome. They gave me 70% speed, but 100% strength on the back of the card. But anyway, that's a different story.
70% speed after the 5'9".
So they had the nameplate in the jersey for every player ready to go, and you could see it. And they're so quick with it. I mean, it's a machine behind the scenes. I wish I could have got video, but I tried to. I got a few. Don't tell Roger. But yeah, I got a few that I'll share with you. I just don't want to be sued again. This whole thing was a machine to the point where we walked through that hallway. So you know that hallway they come through with all the logos. They put the hat on. And all of a sudden, like, I'm in there. We were in Heinz Field, and I had no idea that it was connected to Heinz Field or Acrisure Stadium, the Steelers Stadium. Right. I was like, how the hell? They had it decked out. It was unbelievable.
That's dope.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. Well, I've heard a couple I tried to tell y'all were teased earlier in the show, so it might be about that time, Mike Oliva.
No. Chad's got to tell us about a lawsuit first in the legal corner.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. We do got to get to the legal corner. Let's just have that one question, unless someone else has something else about the Russini lawsuit, because I haven't heard about this.
Well, Sam's here with us, so you know he's
Sam's going to have questions, yes. Something about, you know, his kids and if you can get rid of them somehow.
So there is a law out there in certain states where there's an expectation of privacy, and you have an expectation of privacy, And if paparazzi or whatever leaks photos or sells photos to companies like TMZ, which that's what happened, supposedly, allegedly, you actually can be sued. And that is what is happening from my inside sources in the state of Arizona. And Miss Russini is the one bringing the lawsuit against the couple that took the pictures. And I probably don't get it. I try to tell y'all, but I try to tell y'all, like, that's legit. And maybe they have an open relationship. Maybe, who knows? Mind your own goddamn business. Right. Like, if you're on vacation at a private resort, stop taking pictures of other people. Like, enjoy the time with your person. And if I, and you know, I was fortunate enough to take my wife on a big birthday, her 21st, obviously, because I'm not going to put her age out here because I know better. And we were at a great resort, and there were some celebrities there. Like, we ran into Eli Manning and his wife, super nice people, first off. But the last thing I'm doing is taking pictures of whatever the hell they're doing. And they were doing some weird shit. No, I'm just joking. I'm just Eli. We're cool. Again, I don't want to be sued. Now, he was super nice, super respectful. My wife's a big fan. She's like, isn't Peyton your brother? I was like, all right, that's kind of a weird question. But anyway, moving on. That is the lawsuit. And honestly, like, mind your own business, because you don't know people's relationships. Don't put things out there. This is going to impact families. Like, should they be doing what they're doing or not? I mean, that's for the families. That's for them to decide. Obviously, Sam had a good point as far as influencing all of that, the professional part of it. But just don't take pictures of other people that are just enjoying their lives, because you don't know what's really going on. So that's the legal zone. That's what I try to tell you all in one.
Very nice.
I want to get it kicked off, Chad. That way to get kicked off. Sam, you didn't have any legal zone for him?
No, I just want to know what he's drinking. That looks like something nice and tasty in that glass.
So I got two things for Sam. Yes, we can definitely sue whatever glass company that is for misrepresentation. And we're drinking Rufino Gold Label, which is one of my favorite go-to. It's a Chianti from Tuscany.
Okay.
But yeah, just send me whoever. So send me whoever put those glasses or sent those glasses to you. That's probably $1 million lawsuit after this. I mean, that is really, really.
I will, for $1 million, I will take every single shot that you guys are throwing at me right now, because $1 million is still $1 million. And you went from Russini to Rufino. That was good. I like that. From whining to wine, all in one segment. I appreciate it.
Impressive.
Oh, I love it.
All right. So I try to tell y'all. So OJ typically goes first. I think we got to start with OJ.
Yeah, let's get it started then, man. I tried to tell y'all that I was drafted on April 25th, 1993. I was the third receiver taken behind Curtis Conway and Sean Dawkins. The Miami Dolphins took me 25th overall. I knew I was ranked, you know, third, you know, going into the draft as the third best receiver in the draft. I also knew that I had monster games against UM, both my junior year and my senior year. And I believe that caught the eye of Coach Shula and the whole entire Miami Dolphins staff. You know, we went against guys like Warren Sapp, Mark Caesar, Michael Barrow, Jesse Armstead, Darren Smith, Ryan McNeil, et cetera, et cetera. On offense, they had the Heisman Trophy winner and Gino Toretta, Lamar Thomas, Horace Copeland, and a guy named Kevin Smith. And Smith was UM's return man slash slot guy, kind of like what I was, you know, at Penn State. He was very good. So a lot of people down here, they wanted the fans to draft Kevin. Most fans down here hated it when I got picked instead. And so this is where I'm getting to. And, you know, I also had a lot of those guys admitted to me in my face recently that, yo, man, I hated that pick when we first took you. But I quickly changed their minds, Big Seth. I changed a lot of people's minds. And I say all this because so many people are so upset about the Caden Proctor pick, you know, being picked 12th overall. And people are pissed without seeing him play one snap in the Aquin Orange, but Sully and Half didn't flinch. That's what I love about it. They didn't flinch. That was their guy all along. Even in my draft, you know, Chris Berman was on there on TV talking about the Dolphins. We were going to pick a guy from Stanford named Glenn Milburn, you know, another dynamic player like Kevin Smith. But back to my man, Caden. He was a beast at Alabama, a real dog out there. So I believe he will do the same thing here. Him next to Patrick Paul and Aaron Brewer, you know what I mean? That could be a real problem here for a very, very long time. And eventually moving to right tackle when and if we move on from Austin Jackson. He can play both guard positions like I talked about earlier today and both tackle positions. He's athletic as hell, and he's a mountain of a man. So I don't worry about his weight. You know why I don't worry about his weight? Because it's the NFL. In the NFL, overweight costs you money. It costs you a lot of money sometimes. So they're going to hit him in his pocket if he can't control his weight down here. You know, so, and there were no fines in Alabama. So everybody, please just chill. Just chill and watch one of the first round picks we've selected in a long time dominate right before you know it and right in front of your own eyes. So I trust Sully in half, and you should too. I try to tell you.
All right.
Cool. Real quick, who ended up being the best wide receiver out of your draft?
Me? No, I don't know. I mean, hell, there were some good ones, man. Curtis Conway went before me. Like I said, Sean Dawkins went before me. There were some pretty good receivers. We might have some guys go. Yancey Thigpen. Yancey
Thigpen. Oh, that's my guy. All right.
I know that's your guy.
So you're second best.
Lamar Thomas, you know, Horace Copeland, all those guys are in my draft. You know, we have some nice dudes. Kevin Williams is his name, actually. I don't know why I said Smith. But yeah, so it was a good draft. It was a really good draft.
Now, you're still my
tried to tell y'all. 1993, baby. Four or five Hall of Famers in there. I'm not one of them, but four or five Hall of Famers in there. Yeah. Look it up. Google it.
Yet.
We went through them a few weeks ago. Yeah, there are four or five in that draft. That's pretty good. You had John Lynch, Michael Strahan, Will Shields are three that I remember, and there's a couple more. That was a loaded draft. Savak, you got one?
Yeah, I reckon I got a little something here.
Reckon you got something. It's top of my head, just going to go.
Sam, is that kind of what happened with that pick you said when
John Lynch caught off? Yeah, well, guys, it's my time. Sure, I'll pick somebody. Why not?
Oh, I suppose we are drafting, aren't we? Sure. But so I tried to tell y'all that these guys, Sully and Half, are men of their word. So we know come on, Bandit. Sorry, I've got some technical difficulties with the unofficial mascot, a fin condition. Sorry.
Hold on. Before you go, Savak, you named the dog Bandit to get mad that it does Bandit things. That's on you.
Yeah, I know. I know. Trust me. I think I did it to myself to remind myself and to further punish myself for the rest of his life, I guess. Good boy. Needless to say, anyways, Sully and Half seemingly got many of the names that they were looking for, and thus they considered it to be a successful draft. And while there may be some questions about some of the guys they drafted, I came away from it with an even greater understanding of what they're trying to build and how they're trying to build it. Now, as we talked about earlier, wouldn't have necessarily call it a sexy draft or even all that exciting, but try telling that to Sully and Half. Because if you were disappointed with how that one shook out, that tells me you really haven't been listening to these guys since they walked into the building. The two things they stated they were seeking to focus on were demonstrated clearly with their picks. Number one, building from the inside out, at least with that first pick. Now, of course, you know, we've heard the mixed reviews as to how good of a selection Caden Proctor was, and we won't know for sure until those pads come on. But leadership clearly saw something in him, and hopefully that something will have him shoring up some part of that offensive line for years to come. And number two was establishing the culture. Each one was described by Sully as loving football, eating, sleeping, and breathing it. And there was also something that most, if not all, of the prospects had in common, experience. These are all guys who played a ton of games, 30, 40, 50 games, with 30 to 40 starts. Like, these are players that have seen action and have experienced a lot, and I believe that'll make their transition into the NFL easier. Additionally, even if some of them aren't around for an extended period, they'll go a long way in establishing the foundation of a culture that, Lord willing, will stand in South Beach for decades to come. So please join me in raising a glass and toasting to the future with an additional cheers to the Patriots' demise. And I tried to tell you.
Screw the Patriots. I'm down with that. I mean,
that's one thing we all can agree on.
I figured as much.
Yeah, that's easy. Approach.
Seth, you want to go next or I can go next? What do you want to do?
Whoever. Yeah, it's all good. I don't really have much.
All right. Well, I don't really have much. Well, with that,
I feel like, you know, wait, hold on real quick, Mike, hold on. I feel like that might be his autobiography name eventually.
I don't really have much. How did I get here?
It'll be etched on his tombstone.
Yeah, that's probably it's what I'm gonna say when I walk into the Van Horn Law Group offices. I think I need your services.
Well, now I want to hear what Seth's got to say since he doesn't have much.
All right. Well, look, I tried to tell y'all that if I hear the word convicted one more time out of the Miami Dolphins building, I'm going to throw up. I don't care that John Eric Sullivan was convicted when he made his picks. Damn it, if he wasn't convicted, then what the hell was Troy Aikman thinking when he was convicted that should be the guy that should be our general manager? I'm so sick of hearing, well, at least they were convicted with the decisions that they made. They have to be convicted. You spend hours upon hours, days upon months preparing for this one moment. You better be friggin' convicted on every choice that you make. There shouldn't be a flip of the coin, a roll of the dice, say, well, I don't know, let's try this. So I don't want to hear the word convicted. You know who's convicted? Cecil Collins was convicted of burglary and breaking and entering, okay? You know who's convicted? Our buddy Sammy Smith was convicted before he turned his life around. Mercury Morris was convicted of cocaine trafficking. May he rest in peace. Those guys were convicted. I don't want to hear about our general manager being convicted, our coach being convicted. And Mike McDaniel told me how convicted his offense was when they played ball, and we saw what that resulted in as well. So take the friggin' word convicted out of your mouth and just tell me that you built this team the way you felt the team needed to be built, and you got good football players. I like hearing about tough players. I like hearing about smart players. I like hearing about bad dudes with bad intentions, but I don't want to hear that you're convicted, because what the hell else should you be when you're getting paid all that money to spend all that time preparing to choose football players? I tried to tell y'all.
Damn, Seth, you brought it. That was awesome.
Didn't have much.
That was a lot.
I'm convicted.
Oh, man, you're listed damn. Convicted next Dolphins. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You brought it.
Change,
well,
change the name of his autobiography now.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
Convicted. All right, I'm going next because I'm not going to follow the comedian. He's going last. So I tried to tell y'all, John Eric Sullivan not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. Everything he said since he's been hired, he has lived up to. He said he was going to build this from the inside out. His first pick was an offensive lineman. The rest of the draft, two linebackers, two tight ends, another offensive lineman, and two edge players. He said he was going to give Malik Willis more weapons. He drafted three wide receivers. And most importantly, the one thing he said he was going to let happen was the draft board come to him and add good football players regardless of the positions. BPA. And nothing speaks more to that than Miami's second-round pick, Jacob Rodriguez. Not a position of need by any means, but just a good, smart, tough football player. As a linebacker, last season, Rodriguez was fifth in the Heisman Trophy. Get this, last season, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Buckus Award winner, Bronco Nagurski Trophy, Chuck Bednarik Award, Brian, some other guy won a trophy, Lombardia. He won so many trophies that he's got to build an extra room in his house for the trophies. Last two seasons, he's had 21 and a half tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 10 forced fumbles, 5 interceptions. He was not only was he winning every individual award one can win at that spot, he was also the leader of the best defense in college football last year. Miami has Jordan Brooks. They have Tyrell Dotson. Middle linebacker does not hold value in the modern game to be picked, you know, round one or top of round two in the eyes of many. It wasn't a need, but you don't turn away good football players when they fall in your lap. Chris Greer would have scoffed and said something dumb, like, you're more worried about linebacker than we are. And then he would have drafted a safety who's coming off two ACL injuries. And 5 minutes after the pick, he would have pointed to the head coach or coordinator and said, well, he wanted him. And that's what would have happened if we still had him. Chris Greer is a type of guy. He's a type of GM. When he shits his pants, he goes and changes his shirts. There's no rhyme or reason to anything he ever did. John Eric Sullivan, though, he kept it simple. He wanted guys who were big, athletic, who are good at football. He kept it simple. If you're always hurt, he didn't want you. If you're always in trouble, he didn't want you. And at 43, he took a high character football player at not a position of need, because the more good players you have, you're probably going to win. And if you're going to say you're going to go BPA, then you got to stick to BPA the whole time. Sure, we still needed a safety or a corner or an edge. He didn't care. He took the football player. And the teams usually with the most football players win. And, you know, I hear a lot of Dolphins fans saying, oh, my God, I can't believe we didn't take this guy. Oh, my God, I don't like this pick. It feels like we reached on him. You know what John Eric Sullivan said? He told those fans,
it doesn't matter how it makes you feel.
That's right. It doesn't matter how it makes you feel. I'm in charge. I own all these picks, and this is my draft, and I'm taking the guys that are right for this team. And that's what I tried to tell y'all.
Well right. done.
Before Sam goes, can I have a 30-second I tried to tell y'all?
Go for it.
All right. I tried to tell y'all the NFL knows how to make money. So have you guys ever heard of Build-A-Bear?
Oh, yeah.
So they have Build-A-Bear right outside of the stadium in the draft, right? And you can see underneath the Steeler jersey is the NFL draft, right? So you get the add-ons. Guess how much is Build-A-Bear, which isn't even a bear.
It's not even a bear.
Cost for my little daughter, Kiara.
I bet you $45.
I was going to say 100.
100.
We got 100. We got 100. What else we got?
I'm at 60.
I'm going to go. I'm going 85, but with this being at the NFL special one.
$127.
$127!
And
it's they going to charity.
And they – no, hell no.
Yeah, it's called the NFL charity. It's going to
happen. Yeah. And 100 – and, like, my mom was with me, and she's like, oh, we got to get it for Kiara. I'm like, oh, we got to get – and there's no price tags. You just go there, and they just ring everything up. They're like, oh, that'll be 100. I was like, I only got one, because I thought maybe it was like 60. I was like, that would be expensive. And they're like, it's 120. Oh, and there's a line of people behind me. They're like, are you going to hurry up? I was like, well, I need to split this between like six credit cards. Like, it's going to be a minute. So I tried to tell y'all the NFL knows their partnerships and knows how to make some goddamn money.
Right. I tried to tell y'all. Hey, I'm glad I ain't got a little ones anymore. Thank goodness. Mike, real quick, too, add on to yours real quick.
Yeah.
Jacobs, his wife's a fucking Blackhawk pilot.
Blackhawk helicopter, high character, everything. Yeah, that's really.
Bro.
He's a serious person.
Serious person, bro. Serious. All right.
Serious person. All right, Sam, you're up.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised you didn't use that 5.9 speed to just run out of there and shoplift the shit out of that bunny, Chad. But maybe next time. And by the way, I know you're a new dad. They don't remember shit till they're 3.5. So you just wasted your money. Just wait a couple of years before you buy anything. There's AI these days. They'll tell you that you look good in glasses. You could have made a Pittsburgh Steelers bunny on your phone and put it next to your kid and then just told her, oh, yeah, I bought this for you. Daddy spent the money. I just lost it somewhere along the way. She would have known, but oh well. That's rookie mistake. New dad, I get it. I understand. All right. Look, I hate going last, but I do have to say that I loved everybody's. I tried to tell you, and the one thing that I haven't heard anybody else talk about is this. I tried to tell y'all that you have been mispronouncing our general manager's name since the day he got in South Florida. It is not John Eric Sullivan, ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Perfectville. It is John Eric Trollovan, and I have proof. What did he do with the 27th overall pick? We were at 30, and what did the Buffalo Bills do? They went from 26 to 28. They dropped down a little bit, got a little extra cash. What did John Eric Trollovan do? He said, fuck you guys, and went up to 27, took them guys, took the chain right off their necklace, and what did the Buffalo Bills did? Well, they went, well, this is like the Super Bowl. We're just going to quit. And they just gave up and went into the second round. They said, we don't know how to play this game anymore. Then what happened in round two? Sitting at 43, sitting on our hands, doing nothing, or so you think. And who's there? Our guy, Mr. Mustache himself, Mario, Tom Selleck, all rolled into one at 43. The Miami Dolphins, not a position of need like Mike talked about. What did they do? They went and got the guy who's going to make every single pair of panties moist in South Florida for the next 10 years, married or not. And who was drafting right behind them? Who was there? That's right. The New York stupid Jets. And what did the New York stupid Jets do right after he was taken at 43 to the Miami Dolphins, their arch rivals? They traded out. They didn't want to hang. John Eric Trolovan hit again, but he wasn't done. There was an encore, ladies and gentlemen. There was an encore. Number 94, Chris Bell, Anita Ward's favorite player, because every time he gets a touchdown in the future, we're going to hear that damn song in the stadium. We're going to hear that damn song on the broadcast. We're going to hear that damn song in our heads forever and ever and ever. And you know who's going to hear it more? The New England Patriots, because they wanted Chris Bell. They needed Chris Bell. They had his wide receiver coach in college, Deion Branch, there at 95 to pick Chris Bell, but they didn't get a chance to do that. Why? Because John Eric Trolovan struck again. I tried to tell y'all.
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
Great job, boys.
Love it.
He put them all in the cuck chair. He put all three AFC East opponents in the cuck chair in the corner of the hotel room and said, watch this. It's amazing.
For those in the audience that don't know what a cuck chair is, could you please?
We don't need to go there. That's fine.
You're thrown off YouTube. You're thrown off YouTube.
That is, I think we've seen enough and heard enough. How come you don't like to go last? Or you how come you don't like to go last, Sam?
You're a headliner comedian. You got to go last.
That's right.
I'm a feature comedian. I'm not a headliner. I'm a headliner at bar
shows. With this group,
yes.
With this group, you're the headliner.
Mike, he's worried that we're going to take all the he's worried we're going to take all the good stuff.
Every now and then, I don't think he
felt anybody was going to drop the John Eric Trolovan. I think he felt pretty confident that
was great.
That was my backup, actually. That was my backup.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Mike, thanks for driving the train for me tonight.
He's used to finishing first, is what I
Yeah, but he can kill him.
Missionary finishing first.
It is all just falling apart right now.
80%. Hey.
So if you haven't had a chance,
missionary finishing first. Check
out our interview with Eric Ezukama. That's our most recent interview for the Fish Tank. And actually, tomorrow, Mike, is it gonna drop tomorrow on the right here on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel? So right now, you can get the audio on Fish Tank, Apple or Spotify, but you can see the interview, and it's a lot of fun. Look at that Build-A-Bear rabbit. You can see the interview right here on Dolphins Talk, and I think it's going to be available on Dolphins Talk, Apple, Spotify as well. So Eric Ezukama was really cool as a guy trying to rebuild his career, get back into the National Football League. I think he was just voted as one of the best special teams players in the UFL. I saw him.
But that's like me headlining for this six people. That's not a real award.
I think that's a pretty damn big deal, Sam. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, too, about the Eric Ezukama interview. It was interesting to see or hear some of the snips that was going on in that wide receiver room.
Yeah. Eric, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's what we all speculated, Big Seth. I think Eazy-E brought it home for us a little bit.
He did. No, without like, you know, I don't think he was throwing shade. He was not, but talked about what he saw, what he observed.
Sure, he had to like at least part of Miami's draft too.
Texas Tech.
Enjoyed us some Red Raiders.
Well, he also fits the profile of the type of receiver that that this team, you know, is into now. It's not about all these little guys now. It's big physical guys, and he is that. So who knows?
I'm looking forward to some big guys doing some big man things, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
OJ says no.
I think, that might be no J McDuffie at that. That's a no.
Yeah.
You talking about my hoop game now, Sam? All I do is foul. I don't do it anymore, but I foul.
My favorite My favorite sports quote of all time is Derek Coleman. If you guys remember Derek Coleman, formerly the Philadelphia Sixers. And he said, you get six fouls in a game, so why not use them? And I love that quote. That is my basketball style right there.
So, oh, I would tell people that in pickup all the time. Just say, look, there's no limit on fouls.
Unlimited.
Yeah. Don't get your feelings hurt because I'm going to use every opportunity I have.
So I know I know we're wrapping up, but I want to see if you guys saw this. This is going on social media. Who would you rather have, the Dolphins wide receivers? And it's not a fair question, honestly. The Dolphins wide receivers or the free agent wide receivers? And they had Diggs, Tyreek Hill, and Debo. And I know that in their prime, there's no argument. Like, if there's no argument.
Look,
but
I can't deal with the off-the-field stuff for those three. Not necessarily Debo. Not necessarily Debo. I'll take
Debo.
Two, after I can't do it anymore with the other. I mean, it's just – it's too much.
Agreed.
Right. In their prime – in your prime, you'll probably deal with it. If they're in their prime and healthy.
True.
But if you're trying to build a culture –
But that's also part of the questionnaire. That's the caveat. So are we talking like those guys right now as they currently are, or are we those guys in their prime?
It has to be.
They were saying right now.
Okay. Antonio Brown's available, right?
I think you guys are looking at this the wrong way. You're looking at this from a head coach or a player's perspective. I'm looking at this as an owner of a team. If I can get those three guys on the team and they can promise me that all of their children will buy tickets to the game, I got guaranteed sellouts every single game.
All you need is Tyreek for that. You're good.
Hey, we might as well try and Philip Rivers then too. Why not?
Right. A whole lot of Build-A-Bears being sold. I'll tell you that
much. NFL. Sure.
I think it's about that time, Juice.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in. Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Trap OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Dog fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.